Welcome to Torah Dimecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Yirmiyahu, Chapter 16. In the last parak, we learned about the progression of the Charban that is to come. The end of the parak is a conversation between Yirmiyahu and Hashem. Hashem explains to Yirmiyahu that his mission is very important, even if he only impacts one person. In this parak, Hashem constrains Yirmiyahu to a life of isolation, to be an example for the people. He is told not to have a wife, children, and not to attend funerals or happy events with his neighbors. Yirmiyahu is forced to be alone, so that with these symbolic acts, the people will ask questions. Verse 2. Lo sikach lecha isha v'lo yeh lecha banim uvanos b'makom hazeh. Don't take a wife or have sons and daughters in this place. The pasuk says that he shouldn't have children in this place, which the Radak says is Anasos. Everyone in Anasos is destined to die for their evil, and if Yirmiyahu had children, even he would be unable to save them. This message of doom for the people of Anasos and the command not to marry stands in contrast to the message in Perek Lamed, chapter 30, where Hashem tells Yirmiyahu to buy a field. He is told to buy a field to teach the people that eventually they will be redeemed. Yirmiyahu is communicating two messages that on the surface seem paradoxical, but actually are not contradictory. Right now, the present is doomed. There is no hope. However, after they receive atonement through the experience of Galus, there will be hope in the future. In verse 3 and throughout the parak, Yirmiyahu uses the language of Ko Amar Hashem, so says Hashem. This phrase indicates that this message is a decree from Hashem and is not one based on Yirmiyahu's opinions at all. Here, it means that Yirmiyahu's nevuah to Anasos is not said out of spite for the assassination attempt. Yirmiyahu tells the people that Hashem says that all the children of Makom Hazeh, born in this city of Anasos, are destined to die. Hashem had decreed that all the children born in this city would be killed, but not those born in other cities who moved to Anasos. The Da Sofrim says they will die not only for the sins of their parents, but also because there is no hope that they will change for the better. It is preferable that they die innocent rather than after they actively follow their parents' path. The mothers, Be'eretz Hazos, in this land will die. All parents, no matter where they are born or where they live, are decreed to die. Verse 4 mirrors the last parak, as Yirmiyahu describes the manner of death and the aftermath. So many people will die, mimosei tachaluim, from the death of illness that comes from famine, that there would be too many dead bodies to bury. Their bodies would decompose where they fell. Those who lived are going to be too busy surviving to mourn. Everyone else will die b'cherev u'ra'av, by sword and famine. Their bodies would also not be buried and would be eaten by scavenger animals. In verses 5 to 7, Hashem commands Yirmiyahu not to follow the halachos of comforting mourners before, during, or after a loved one dies. This will symbolize that the nation will soon not be able to mourn as they have done until now. This will happen, ki asafti eshlomi me'ez ha'am hazen om Hashem es ha'chesed v'esarachamim. Because I have gathered in my peace from this people, says Hashem, the chesed, the loving kindness, and the mercy. Hashem will not be giving them the shlomi, my peace, the special peace reserved for Jewish people, nor the chesed, the mercy, when they need it. They will receive no kindness when they are mourning or when they are celebrating. Instead, when the young and old die, there will be no funerals, no eulogies, and no cultural practices around death. Yehuda learned to self-injure after a close one died from the Kananim, and that also will stop. They won't make a sudas havara, the initial meal made by neighbors after the mourners return from the cemetery. Their friends won't give the mourners wine to calm themselves after burial. Rashi explains that since they are all dying, there is no one left to be the supportive community in times of sorrow. Verse 8, Hashem tells Yirmiyahu that not only can he not go to mourn with the bereaved, uveis mishta losa voloshevis osam lecho vilishtos, and to a house of feasting you shall not go to sit with them, to eat, and to drink. Yirmiyahu is an example, so people understand the severity of what is to come if he does not participate. Verse 9, Kiko amar Hashem tzvakos Elokei Yisrael, So says Hashem, this is a negative decree from Shem Tzvakos, the God who is the God of battle, who is also Elokei Yisrael, who is the God of judgment and acts with Hashkacha, complete oversight and involvement into what happens to the Jewish people. Hashem will end Leinechem Uvmeinechem, in your presence and in your days, very soon, imminently, in a visible way, Kol Sason v'Kol Simcha, Kol Chasan v'Kol Chala, the voice of Sason, external manifestations of happiness, and a voice of Simcha, the internal joy that one feels at celebration, and even the joyful sounds of the groom and the bride. Hashem warns Yirmiyahu that the nation will be incredulous when they hear this nevuah. Almed diber Hashem aleinu al eskol hara'a hagdola hazos. For what did Hashem speak about us, all this great evil? Ume avonenu, ume chatosenu, asher chatanu laHashem Elokeinu. And what is our purposeful sin, and what is our accidental sin, that we have sinned to Hashem our God? They are saying that there have been plenty of worse generations, like Menashe. Why are we being punished? We didn't do anything wrong. The Das Sofrim says, the nation says the word meh, what, three times, to emphasize that they really have no idea why they are being punished. They are completely unaware of their behavior and its impact. Verse 11, Hashem has a two-part answer as to why they are being punished. Your parents, Hashem says, worshipped other gods. They left Hashem and didn't keep the Torah. The parents became distant from Hashem. Once they had no connection to Hashem, they stopped learning Torah, and then they started serving other gods. Even if they had felt disconnected from Hashem, had they learned Torah, says the Das Sofrim, they could have done tshuva. Instead, everything they observed was only mitzvahs anal shim milumada, done because of habit and tradition. It wasn't malicious, they were ignorant and disconnected. The current generation, on the other hand, are much worse than the previous generation, says Hashem, verse 12. V'hinchem hochim a'ish acharei shriris libo hara, levilti shomea elai. And behold, you are going, each one of you, after the view and the opinions of his evil heart, not to listen to me. Yehuda, in Yirmiyahu's time, learned Torah, and they weren't ignorant like their parents. Yet they actively chose to imitate the behavior of their parents. The Pasuk highlights how these choices were made by each individual, by each ish. Each person went after Shriva's slave, the evilness of his own heart. Every person had their own philosophy and rationale why they didn't need to listen to Hashem. So while previous generations were ignorant, this generation acted purposefully and from an arrogance that their logic superseded all divine communication. Since Yehuda didn't listen to Hashem and wanted to explore other gods and other lifestyles, their punishment is fitting. They will get the opportunity to do plenty of exploring when they will be sent into Galus to new foreign lands. There, Va'avadetem Sham es Elohim Acherim Yomam V'layla. There, they will need to serve other gods day and night. Yehuda will be forced to work for idol worshippers without rest, and so it will be as if they are following other religions. Verses 14 and 15 interrupt with what is the end goal of this Galus story before returning in verse 16 to the harsh descriptions of Galus. Lachain, therefore, the consequence of Galus is that they will be changed. They will then deserve to have a geula, a salvation that is more remarkable to them than even being saved from Egypt. In Egypt, the whole nation lived in one land and were all saved as one to move to another land. After this Galus, in 70 years, the Jews will be spread out everywhere. Even so, Hashem will bring them all back to Israel. The Das Sofrim tells us that we still commemorate the miracle of the Geula from both Mitzrayim and Bavel. When the Jews left Mitzrayim, they started counting the months from that date. The month they left Egypt became the first month. When the Jews were miraculously redeemed from the exile in Bavel, they called their Jewish months by their Babylonian names to remember the miracle. We still call the month Nisan, Iyar, which are Babylonian, as a reminder of that salvation. In verse 16, Hashem describes how he will bring the exile with the same hashgacha, the same careful involvement that we know will happen in the time of the Geula, the redemption. Hineni sholeach l'dayagim rabim ne'um Hashem v'digum. Behold, I will send for many fishermen, says Hashem, and they will fish them. Just like fishermen spread out their nets and catch almost all the fish, Hashem will send messengers to capture Yehuda to destroy them. In this case, that messenger of Hashem will be Nebuchadnezzar. After that, V'achreichein ashlach l'rabim tzayadim v'tzadum, and afterwards I will send to many hunters and they will hunt them. Any individual who escapes the dragnet will be caught no matter where they hide. Verse 17. Yehuda had asked why they are being punished. Hashem tells them, Ki'inai al-kal darcheichem lo nistaru milfanai. For my eyes are on all their ways, they were not hidden from before me. The Malbim says Hashem is looking into their souls, into their midos, their character traits, and sees that they are cruel and arrogant and vengeful. He sees their evil deeds and their evil motivations as well. Hashem doesn't punish for their ill intent, but only for what they are actually doing wrong. Verse 18. Al chalamis artzi, benivlas shikutsehim v'soavosehim, malu esnachlasi. For they are profaning my land with the carcasses of their detestable things and their abominations, they filled my heritage. They profaned the land by not keeping Shemitah, and they filled the land with Avodah Zarah, and put Avodah Zarah in the Beis HaMikdash. Perhaps these acts would not be such a problem outside of Eretz Israel, but when it is done ba'artzi, in my land, it cannot be tolerated. Yirmiyahu hears this punishment and turns to Hashem in tefillah. He says, verse 19, Hashem Uzi, Hashem, who are my ultimate power, when we have no power of our own. Uma Uzi, Hashem is my strength. He gives me the wherewithal to confront challenges with my own internal resolve. Uminusi, biyom tzara, and my refuge in the day of my troubles. Everyone acknowledges that Hashem is the truth strength of the world, so why does it bother him if Yehuda serves idols? Hevel v'ein ba mo'il, they are emptiness in which there is nothing of any help. Man can't actually make gods. Why does Hashem insist on punishing Yehuda? Verse 21, Hashem responds, Lachin, therefore, here is the reason the punishment is coming. It's not because they make idols that are worthless. It's because they, Hinini modi'am, b'pam hazos, odi'im es yadi ves gursi. Behold, I let them know, at this time, I will let them know my power and my might. They know me, and they choose to ignore me and go after their idols. They are being punished so that in the future, they will know that Hashem runs the world and can change it as he sees fit. They won't be confused anymore. Yadu ki shmi Hashem, and they shall know that my name is Hashem. In the time of the redemption, they will know that Hashem runs the world and that Hashem decides everything that will happen. In this parak, Hashem told Yirmiyahu not to marry, have children, or participate in his neighbor's life cycle events. This will cause the people to question why Yirmiyahu is acting strangely, which will be an opportunity for Yirmiyahu to explain to them that they have abandoned Hashem by making choices inconsistent with the Torah. They will realize the severity of what is to come and hear once again that everything that is happening to them is by Hashkacha Pratis, with divine providence. There is an important lesson in this parak. Yehuda knew what was right. They were educated, but then chose to act based on their own logic. They were held more accountable because they should have known better. As we become educated, we must make sure that our actions mirror what we know, as we are all held accountable for our potential as well. Thank you for studying together. Li'ilui Nishmas, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bas, Alexander Sender.